ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Kremlin is warning a mercenary group to stop threatening an armed rebellion aimed at Russia's defense minister. But Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner group, which is fighting alongside Russian troops in Ukraine, says his forces have reached Rostov-on-Don, home to Russia's military headquarters. He claims that Russian troops shelled Wagner's base camps in Ukraine. Tomorrow marks 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Former Vice President Mike Pence is now calling on fellow Republican presidential candidates to support a nationwide ban on abortion at 15 weeks.
The cause of life is the calling of our time, and we must not rest and must not relent until we restore the sanctity of life to the center of American law in every state in this country.
Pence speaking to the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority conference today in Washington, D.C. This is ABC News. The House Speaker promising even more investigations into Hunter Biden and his plea bargain deal with the Justice Department.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Republicans are looking into two IRS whistleblowers claiming the Justice Department interfered with President Biden's son Hunter's prosecution and plea deal.
The information that just came back from Ways and Means, it really raises the question about the DOJ and what did they do during this?
Attorney General Merrick Garland insists that Trump-appointed prosecutor had full no interference authority to make that deal or prosecute. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
A severe weather threat remains in parts of the country, including a Texas town that was devastated this week by a tornado.
A massive tornado striking Matador, Texas, northeast of Lubbock, late Wednesday, flattening Devonna Grundy's home. The first responder holding back tears.
The reality just slapped us in the face. We had nothing.
That twister claiming four lives.
ABC's Mola Lenghi. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Tom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice. But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What kind of tax break would you need to feel it in your pocket? Like, what makes a dent for you when you think about how much you paid in taxes this year or the last year? And if you paid X amount less next year, what would that dollar amount have to be to really feel like it moved the needle? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And I am asking this because yesterday, Wisconsin Republicans passed their plan to cut income taxes by 15% on average. And that was the big kind of shoe drop that I think a lot of people expected. Their big thing was going to be cutting taxes. And so it came from the Joint Finance Committee. And it's a total of $3.5 billion through a plan that focuses its largest reductions on the state's wealthy and middle class filers. And there's a lot of numbers rolling around. And this is not final. This is still something that has to go to Governor Evers' desk. And he's made it pretty clear that he is in opposition to focusing income tax relief on top earners, and he would likely not sign a budget that would lower the state's top income tax rates. But who knows? Because the last time we did this, he did, and then he claimed as his that when he ran for reelection. But instead of, you know, I think a lot of the conversation I've seen on Twitter so far is probably exactly what you thought. There's a lot of Republicans who are celebrating this. There's a lot of Democrats and left-leaning people who are saying more tax cuts for the rich. I don't want to get up in arms about it because it's not done. But I'm just really interested in how tax cuts change behavior and like what it actually means for you and how much money would it have to be to feel it. Because certainly, if you make a lot of money, there's a lot of money to be saved. And if you make an average, even still a lot of money, like, you know, the average right now, the average comes out to about $500, a little bit more. So the average tax cut is $573 per year per taxpayer. And I guess my question is, does saving $573, is paying $573 less in taxes make a big enough difference for you to be celebrating this? 844 877-927-8789. We have Michael on the phone from Eagle. Eagle River?
I think he's just from Eagle, Wisconsin.
Eagle, Wisconsin. Waukesha County. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. I apologize for this, but I'm actually going to reject the premise of your question there in so much that I don't know that even, I mean, unless you're on the really top end of like the 1% of top earners out there, you're not really going to necessarily feel this as much as you feel a lot more when spending is reduced on a state level.
Okay.
That's in our roads and bridges, in our education, that kind of stuff. That I feel like is something you feel a lot more saving 15% on state income taxes, right? Because that's so much, your state income taxes are so much a smaller fraction of the overall tax you pay, whether or not that's Medicare and Social Security taxes or federal income taxes, they're so much smaller that you're not going to feel that as much as you are in the lack of spending that this might result in the long term. And I think that's what you're going to feel more rather than the relief, quote unquote, relief that you might feel from this 15% tax return that's going to go, or tax cut that's going to go mostly to the wealthy and somewhat the middle class.
I would very much agree with you, Michael, but I think it's interesting because the way they're being sold is this is a tax cut for everyone, right? It's all four brackets. It is something, but it's like the marginal, and that's why I'm interested in how, if anyone feels like $500 would make a big difference in my household and what that, how that changes. Because I agree with you in that the trade-off of this is cuts to programs, cuts to spending on roads and a lot of things that we all use. And is it worth it? So thanks so much for the call. Next up, we got Emily from Appleton. What do you think, Emily? How much would this make a difference for you?
Hi. Well, I think, like, as far, like, where I'm coming from a place of being on the upper end of things, like, we'd see a really significant amount back. And so as far as it making, like, I'm, you know, I feel like in this moment, we need to recognize, like, what it means to the people that are, like, at the lower end of the earning, you know, I don't know, scale. And that, that would be like, I think we can acknowledge that that would be huge. And like your previous caller mentioned, like the amount of spending in the state that we'd see decrease because of this tax plan would be the lasting hurt. But I do think that like when my family would see tens of thousands of dollars back, we don't need that. You know, like this is for me, like a question of like, what is society, right? Like, what do we need to pay into? Like, what is that? Because the average of $15 at the lowest income earning level is ridiculous. Like, it's not, that's not a tax break. that's like a family meal at McDonald's, you know, like, and it, we just, I am completely appalled that they're touting this as being any sort of like, any sort of boon for anybody that's at the lower earning level.
Well, not so, even lower earning level, because I'm looking at the chart that's been circulated as far as the average per, you know, under 50K, 50 to 100K, 100K to 500. The average cut for the income group that's 100K to 500K, which is a lot of money in Wisconsin, is $1,231, which is for a lot of people, as long as, so if you take it to talking about childcare, is less than 1 month's tuition for childcare in most places in Wisconsin. And so that's why I'm curious as far as like who thinks this is really a huge windfall for them besides the people who are making over $1 million who would see $30,000 back or over $30 million, of which I think there's only like 11 of those in Wisconsin, but they'll see like over $600,000 back. And so I just am curious to hear from people on what does this mean for them. So as someone who's had a lot more than the average person to earn, it's really interesting to also hear you say this, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't make the trade.
No, I think it's ridiculous and it's not, we don't need it. We don't need it. So,
well, thanks so much. Thank you for the call, Emily. But I would love to hear from you as far as what would you need to earn or to make to feel like this is a good deal, and instead of some of, you know, funding the UW system or childcare or putting earmark, you know, putting money back towards roads or funding the Brewers, because that deal is still not done. And like all of the other priorities and things that have been floated as things that we need and that would help. Is it worth the trade-off? Like, how much money do you have to get back for that trade-off to be worth it. 844-967-2789. We have a text or a comment on the YouTube live stream. As always, you can watch us instead of just listen to us by joining us on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or Twitter Live at As Goes Wisconsin. This comes from Andrew Longworth. An extra $20 per biweekly paycheck would not be noticed. $537 a year divided by 26 pay periods. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I think for my family, we would fall into like the $1,200 range as a married couple. And like, does that mean I want to give up all of these, like, for that amount of money? Is there all these other things that I would say this is worth it to not fund these other programs for me? No, I'm also a bleeding heart. So I understand where I typically fall on my collectivist attitudes, but I would love to hear from you on how this, where you would fall and how much it would really make a difference for you. 844-967-2789. And I should also acknowledge the elephant in the room. This is the first show ever, I think, since she joined, that Jane Matinier has the day off. And instead, on the board, we have Calvin. Calvin, do you have thoughts on this? What would move the needle for you as your taxes, as a young man?
In reality, I don't know if I make quite enough money to really worry about it.
This doesn't affect you.
But yeah, I don't know. $20 out of every paycheck certainly wouldn't be noticeable to me. Like, an extra $20 doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you on the board today.
I'm excited to be here.
First time. First time in As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, when you had the host training in Madison a few months ago, I did fill in on the board.
That is true.
When Dan filled in, I think it was Dan.
Was I not here at all?
Yes, you were not here at all.
Okay, so you've been here.
So this is my first time with you, though.
Yeah, let's have a fun Friday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. All right, well, we are asking the question, how much money back in taxes would move the needle for you to feel like this was a win? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because I think the way that this is getting, and actually later in the show today, CJ Safer is back, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government, someone who is very much a supporter of cutting taxes. He actually falls on the side of wanting to cut income taxes altogether from the standpoint that it attracts workers. And I think one of the questions I'm excited to ask him about it, because we're going to talk about a lot of things. I think there's a lot to talk about with someone who is center right versus where I stand on a lot of this stuff. When we talk about solving our bigger problems as a state, where we fall, because I think the other question I have with this is how much less in taxes would you have to pay to motivate you to move? Because that's one of the arguments that they're saying is by cutting taxes, it makes us a more desirable place to live. But if we're giving the biggest tax cut to the highest earners, and in this case, the highest earners are at an individual rate, make $280,000. And I'm just curious of like, are those the kind of workers we're trying to, like, if that's the biggest tax break, is that also simultaneously who we're trying to motivate to move to Wisconsin? And how many of those people are actually out there? Because at least anecdotally for me, and I'll say this to CJ, like all of my friends who have ever moved because of tax purposes certainly were very wealthy, but they also weren't employees. Like they were owners and they were private equity. They were, you know, crypto guys. And so they moved to like Puerto Rico to chill and evade taxes altogether. All right. Would love to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 64. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 86. Cloudy tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 62. Chance for scattered storms Sunday and Monday 71. Sunday 74. Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Your lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I found this hard to believe, but this is what has just happened. Two pieces of work in the Republican caucus in Congress. And you can say, well, Matt, can you be a little more specific? There are basically 223 pieces of work in the caucus. Well, the two I'm talking about are Elise Stefanik and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Elise Stefanik is the number three in seniority. She's the one who replaced Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney has tremendous integrity, and of course they turned on her for that, and they stuck this Lee Stefanik from upstate New York, who at one time had been a moderate. She was a New York Republican, moderate, anti-Trump, attacked Trump. Then when he won, she started fawning around him, and they put her in, and she's basically a Trump mouthpiece. And Marjorie Taylor Greene needs no introduction, unfortunately. The two of them just introduced two resolutions seeking to expunge the impeachment votes against Trump in the House. Elise Stefanik's resolution was to expunge, in other words, remove from the record, the impeachment votes of the House over the January 6th impeachment. Remember, that one then went to the Senate for the conviction trial. Something like eight Republican senators joined the Democrats. There were about 59 or so people voting for it, but it requires two-thirds, which is 67, so he didn't get out. But 59 senators said he was no good and that he deserved to be removed from office. Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced the resolution to expunge the impeachment votes for the Ukraine blackmail, where Trump called up Zelensky and said, start investigating Joe Biden or you're not going to get any weapons to stop the Rusky genocidal sadists from raping your women and torturing you. And that one passed the House. Many Republicans in both of these in the House went on board. In the Senate, only Mitt Romney agreed. That was a travesty. Here he was using blackmail to a vulnerable ally to try to get a result to favor him. Now, so they put in these two resolutions. What do these mean? First of all, when you expunge, say, a criminal conviction, occasionally the governor will be petitioned to expunge a criminal conviction or a judge. They'll go back in there, say the guy's cleaned up his act, he's not a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. The victim concurs in this, blah, blah, blah. It means that it's no longer on his record, but it doesn't disappear. I mean, everybody knows he got convicted. It's just that it can't be used against him in the sense of prior conviction type thing or employment and all that. Now, when you have somebody who's the president of the United States who was impeached twice, we've all heard about it. You can't expunge my memory. They can't expunge your memory. He was impeached. Secondly, they have no power over the Senate. Mitt Romney voted to convict on the Ukraine impeachment. They can't unring that bell. 8 Republicans voted to convict in the Senate on the January 6th impeachment. They can't unring that bell. And none of the Democrats are going to agree to have their votes expunged, even if the Republican majority does it. And they have a 5-vote majority. I'll tell you this, we're going to take a good hard look at the Republicans, the gerrymandered Republican delegation in Wisconsin. They get 6 of 8 seats and they don't even get half the votes, but they get 3/4 of the seats. And well, we're going to see what they do on this. If they vote to expunge Trump's convictions, I think they should be toast. I think they should be toast. We're going quick to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, your first Western Reminder Day, Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Happy Friday to you. I get sick of these people. Let's just try to do the people's work. And that's why I'm riding with Biden. Because, you know, he's trying to work for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. He's got the infrastructure. We have to have infrastructure in this country to make us powerful. Let alone working with the other world powers to make the world safer. And that's the things you need to be concentrating on. I get sick of this stuff, you know. So, and I'm not worried about Biden's age. So I'm riding with Biden, period. These other people need to focus on the country, for God's sake. So I get a little excited here on a Friday. So, all right, Matt, you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Remember one thing, you say Trump's age or Biden's age. Trump is 77, Biden is 80. Trump is only 3.5 years younger than Biden. Biden's a lot healthier. Trump looks bad, very bad. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Great caller, just outstanding, Wisco Paul. I'm riding with Biden, too. You know what drives me bananas is these people should all be criminally investigated because they're aiding and abetting, trying to cover up, trying to distract the crimes of Trump. I mean, it's right in your face. These people should also be investigated because they were involved in the insurrection, getting people all riled with their lies. In addition to that, I'll put any young person up against Joe Biden who has an agenda, who works day and night, and his thinking is clear. My background is intelligence, you know, as far as assessment of intelligence, you know, and that type of thing. He's on the ball. He is right. Intelligent. Trump only worked half days, if you'll recall, and he only came in the half days after he watched himself on TV. Trump also was always trying to get parades for himself. Biden goes to parades and honors our military and all of the people in our country. So I don't want to hear this age thing. It makes me sick to my stomach because there's a lot of older people that age that I would put up to any young person that these right. guys could just run circles around them. So there you right. go on the age.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gene. Love your calls. Love your passion. You're very right. The age thing is baloney. 3.5 years difference doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Trump has now 2 sets of indictments against him. He may get a third fairly quick. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot after the break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Kremlin is warning a mercenary group to stop threatening an armed rebellion aimed at Russia's defense minister. But Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner Group, which is fighting alongside Russian troops in Ukraine, says his forces have reached Rostov-on-Don, home to Russia's military headquarters. He claims that Russian troops shelled Wagner's base camps in Ukraine. Tomorrow marks 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Former Vice President Mike Pence is now calling on fellow Republican presidential candidates to support a nationwide ban on abortion at 15 weeks.
The cause of life is the calling of our time, and we must not rest and must not relent until we restore the sanctity of life to the center of American law in every state in this country.
Pence speaking to the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority conference today in Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the line. Stephanie Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's in your mind today?
Hey, the main thing is, well, first of all, I want to say that one of the issues that we're really addressing is ageism. You know, just because you're of a certain age does not mean that you don't have your sharps, okay? Not everybody has some of the issues of aging, such, you know, mental impairment. It's a percentage, but not all. You know, there's a lot of folks, and I want to say go Jean from Eau Claire, but the issue I have, and these censures, like the censure of Adam Schiff, what's the long-term basically effect of that? To me, it's like a waste of time, okay? It really, really is. But can it be challenged? What is the real damage? And maybe in the long run, what is the real meaning of it? And I'm going to hang up, Matt, and you have a great weekend, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stephanie. Excellent question. The censure of of Adam Schiff is meaningless. The House can censure someone, and they have censured something like, he's the fifth person, I think, in the last, 80 years. And one of them that they censured was Rangel, who there was financial impropriety. The other one was Paul Gosar, who put out that video, and he photoshopped his own face on it, showing him killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And they censured him over that. And then there were two, Crane and Jerry Studs, back in 1984 for sexual offenses. Now, if there is legitimacy to the censure, so the two sexual offenses, the financial offenses, and then with Gosar, although it didn't hurt Gosar because there's something about his district that I'll never understand, he still gets reelected. But it doesn't do anything to you. They can't hurt you except politically. In other words, are your constituents going to be turned off by it? Well, Schiff's constituents in California are going to see it as a badge of honor. Why was he censured? Because he said about 3 years ago that Russia and Trump had colluded to help Trump. And this fellow Durham at the hearing the other day was asked by Schiff, and this is what really triggered the censure, did Russia and Trump meet? Yes. Yes, that's what he said under oath. Yes. Did Trump share information with Russia? Yes. Did Russia interfere to help Trump? Yes. Did Trump welcome the support? Yes. Mueller, in my view, took a dive. All of that was in his report. And yet he said, there's no evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump colluded with them. Now, I don't care if you're a lawyer or not. You meet with them, they interfere on your behalf by hacking, you welcome it, you give them information. And that's not collusion. Adam Schiff said there was collusion. I say there's collusion. So it doesn't hurt at all. Now, can you undo it judicially? No, because of the separation of functions. There's one exception. Julian Bond in the Georgia legislature in the late 60s advocated that we withdraw from Vietnam. He said it was a bad war. The Georgia legislature wouldn't seat him. Now, if the Congress decided not to seat Adam Schiff, throw him out, that then would go up, and the precedent of Julian Bond in the late 60s, I think, would apply, although that was a state legislature. This is the Congress. What would the Supreme Court do? The Republicans, I don't think, are stupid enough to try something like that. Because think about this. What happens if the Democrats take over and expel everybody among the Republicans? Expel 200 people. At some point, the Republican Party is vandalizing this country. And that is the law on that. We're going to the lines. David Amequan, my friend. Your first Western Mind Day, David.
Good afternoon, Matt. So to my understanding with Adam Schiff, that phone call that he received was a bunch of spoof. It was actually like a comedian kind of a scenario, and he kind of fell for it. He took it seriously. And so I think with that being said, and I watched Durham on C-SPAN, he said that essentially, you know, what was going on here, of course, there's people are always, you know, making, these crazy crank calls and stuff of that nature. They're not legitimate. And what I just don't understand is that with it being falsified and that it was, you know, considered these goofy guys decided to pull one over on them. That was kind of screwed up, that wasn't really looked into further, because end of the day, by peddling what he was peddling, and it ended up not being true because it was just, you know, some characters that just decided to make a joke out of it. And, you know, that's there's some serious consequences for that, I think.
Well, David, wait a minute. First of all, I don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about. I'm not talking about a spoof call. I'm talking about he was an impeachment manager in the Ukraine conviction trial, number one. He said many times, and I have said on this air many times, that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to try to win the election in 2016. The truth is, that in the Mueller report, it says, A, Trump met with the Russians. And when I say Trump, his staff did, Manafort and Don Trump Jr. and the rest. Number B, they shared information at these meetings. For instance, Trump gave them polling information so they could see where to target their false social media. Number three, Russia intervened on Trump's behalf by hacking to help Trump. Number four, Trump welcomed the help. Everything I just said is in the Mueller report. John Durham, the guy with the mustache who supposedly was going to come in and investigate the investigation of Russia, said to all of those questions, yes, there's nothing to do with a fake call. I have no idea what you're talking about. The only fake call I know about is when Scott Walker got a fake call from a guy who said it was the Koch brothers and said, why don't you beat up somebody in the crowd? And instead of saying drop dead, he said, well, we don't have to do that right now. That's the only fake call. Nothing that you have said is any reflection on Adam Schiff, and who knows what a fake call is in that context. What I said wasn't fake. The fact is that Durham at his testimony to Congress over 6 hours confirmed it all. I think Mueller took a dive. Why do I think he took a dive? Any lawyer, the worst lawyer in the world, if he has shown, A, there were meetings and exchanges of information, if this were a drug thing, that's conspiracy right there. B, Russia intervened and hacked to benefit Trump. C, Trump welcomed the intervention. What more do you need? Mueller took a dive by saying, well, I don't technically want to say that he should be criminally charged for this, that, and the other thing, and he chickened out. Okay. That has nothing to do with a fake call. Okay. We are going to get back. I want to point out a few other things that concern me. They concern me. One of them is, you may have read, Trump just was, they were handed over to Trump's lawyers down in the Florida indictment case from the documents, a trove of evidence. Why is that? Because under the case of Brady versus Maryland a long time ago, the prosecutor is required to turn over any exculpatory evidence to a defendant. So for example, if they have three witnesses who said, yeah, he shot the guy, and a fourth witness says, no, he didn't shoot the guy, another guy shot the guy, they got to disclose all of that. They can't hide the good witness for the defense. What most prosecutors do now is have really an open file, with some exceptions, an open file procedure, where they say, here's everything we're going to show at trial. They're not required to give it all unless a court orders it, but they generally do it. In this case, they gave him a ton of stuff. The judge, and this was not Aline Mercedes Cannon, who worships Trump, kneels in front of him to kiss the mistletoe on his belt buckle. This is Bruce Reinhart, the magistrate judge down there. He said, it can only be given to the lawyers. Trump can only see it in their offices. He cannot keep copies of it. Now, will they abide by that? If they don't, they're in contempt. Any of these guys care? I hope so. But this is America, not Russia. Okay. But Trump will read this stuff. It's not clear whether he can take notes on this stuff. I assume he will. But if he can't, he can just speak it. And he has a recording device in his phone, or he could have a court reporter there, paralegal. Who knows? The concern that some prosecutors have now, and I share this concern, Trump is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He may tamper with the evidence and tamper with witnesses. That is a felony, but this guy is impervious to felonies, apparently. That is a felony, but it's happened. They tampered with witnesses in the January 6th investigation. They paid their fees. And they told, for instance, Cassidy Hutchinson to lie, basically. And then she finally saw the light and told the truth. This is like dealing with organized crime. So what could Trump do? Either he or a surrogate, and this is what they did in the January 6th investigation, would call people and say, a certain individual would be very sad if you said X and X. We do not want things to go badly for you if you say Y and Z. There are ways of tampering. Now, can he tamper with the written evidence? Can he, for instance, just alter something in it? No, for two reasons, in my view. One is he's not supposed to be given the documents, only shown them. There are some sneaky lawyers who will say, now you're not supposed to look at these documents other than here in my office. By the way, I got to go to the bathroom. He's out to the bathroom for half an hour and he comes back and you didn't do anything with the documents, did you? No, sir, says Trump. This is the kind of crap that goes on, okay? And you have got to understand that the legal system is not everybody is Abraham Lincoln or the guy in To Kill a Mockingbird. This is a problem. I do not think that Eileen Mercedes Cannon will give a rat's patoot if he tampers with witnesses. I do not trust her. I think it was a mistake to file this thing where there's a 1 in 3 chance she get the case. But it is what it is. But if there is any hint of tampering, that has got to be clamped down on. And instead of bringing it to her attention, there's got to be separate charges for the people involved. Whoever his surrogate was who do it, he's not stupid enough to make the call himself. And if it's Trump and the surrogate's in another state, indict him somewhere else. I'm very, very concerned about this. The other thing I'm concerned about, and this just broke too, in Georgia, everybody goes, Brad Raffensperger is such a great guy. Brad Raffensperger is such a great guy. Well, no, he's not such a great guy. Georgia is one of two states where you go in and you vote electronically and you can't see how it registered your vote. One of two states. Here in Wisconsin, we fill out a card and we feed it in. Or now the new thing is it appears on the screen and you hit, say, Biden, and it shows it on the screen. And then you say, submit. They don't have that in Georgia and one of the state. I don't know which one it is. You can't, there's no paper trail and you can't verify it. Well, they went over with a fine tooth comb the results back in 2020 and everything was fine. But this time around, Raffensperger, I think, is basically honest, and Kemp, as bad as he is the governor, basically honest. There cannot be any states that don't have paper backup of some sort, or at least where you can see what your vote is. That's why we need a Voting Rights Act. That's why it was wrong for Manchin Sinema to block it. We need a Voting Rights Act for everybody. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Down, and the flames went higher.
And it burns. The ring of fire. And it burns. The ring of fire.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattinair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 64. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 86. Overcast. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 62. Chance for scattered storms Sunday and Monday, 71. Sunday, 74. Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. And at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up on the Georgia segment. Remember something. Trump alleged there was fraud in Georgia. It was found that there was not. Biden won Georgia. He won it. But it turns out that the program that is used is called ImageCast X, done by Dominion. Dominion's an honest company. Fox had to pay them almost $800 million for lying about their system. Fox said there was some kind of hole in the back that you could change stuff, and that isn't true. $800 million. However, you may remember that as part of the Trump fraud, there's a group called Cyber Ninja in Arizona who made allegations and then couldn't prove them. But a judge down there, a Trump-leaning Republican judge, gave them access to ImageCast X to look at. Of course, they had to be told not to copy it, not to do this or that. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. Another hacker, an amateur hacker, told the government that they bought an ImageCast X system on eBay. On eBay. Now, Georgia is one of only two states that has this, where when you vote on the screen and you say you vote Trump, you can't confirm that that's what it did. One of two states. They had experts go in after the last election, 2020, and they traced everything, and it came out perfectly. The margin that Biden had in the internal part of this thing was right. But there are groups now, and I applaud them 100%, who are saying, let's change it by 2024. Let's have a paper backup. Like here, a lot of places in Wisconsin, you feed the card in. Or in Milwaukee, when I voted in-person absentee, in other words, early, down at the municipal city hall, I vote for Biden, say, you can see there's a box, Biden, Trump, and you know a couple of others, third party. You can see where the check marks goes, and then you submit. They don't even do that down there, one of two states. Raffensperger, who everybody thinks is the saint because he didn't cave into Trump in that call. In fact, he taped it. That's why Fannie Willis has some good evidence. Raffensperger is not a saint. If somebody were honest, he'd go, yeah, this should be changed. But instead he goes, we don't have time. What do you mean you don't have time? Right now it is June. We're talking about November of 2024. There's plenty of time. All the experts say there's plenty of time. Well, no. Well, when will every time after that? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. This isn't right. Now, the fact is that Georgia is probably not going to swing the election one way or the other next time. But, you know, the Senate races are going to be coming up again. There are House races there, governor races there, and there's a presidential race there. And Biden did win this time. So that's what you have. There are vulnerabilities. The experts said there are 9 vulnerabilities. I've only listed a couple of them. And the dispute right now is there time? Is there time? One impediment is that some of these changes need legislative approval. The legislature down there is total Trump. They're the ones that rammed through with Kemp's support. Everybody goes, oh, Kemp, he's one of the good Republicans. No, he's not. No, he's not. With Kemp's support, that they can yank any prosecutor in the state they want. And they have their eyes on Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis, one of the best prosecutors in the country, for allegedly under-prosecuting marijuana possession and under-prosecuting, in fact, not prosecuting doctors who perform abortions. You know something, guys, she prosecutes gang members, murders, and she election fraud. How about that? But so Kemp signed that bill. That legislature is not going to let Raffensperger do anything constructive. That is why we need national legislation for voting rights. We're not talking about governor of Georgia. We're talking about the president of the United States, U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen. That's federal Trump state. There's a federal interest in our all being uniform. That was SB1 and HR1 had been put in when Pelosi was there. And it ran to a filibuster in the Senate, passed the House. The filibuster in the Senate could be overturned if Manchin and Sinema had gone along with this. They could just say it's not subject to the filibuster. They didn't do it. We only had 49 votes. And that's why we have this. We have fraud is what we have. We have fraud. Always keep that in mind. One other thing that really frosts me. Megan Wolf, one of the great executive directors of the Wisconsin Election Commission, they are going to take her deposition tomorrow to try to rough her up. There's six people on the Wisconsin Election Commission, and they picked the executive director. 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans. The 3 Republicans are going to oppose her. The 3 Democrats will support her. What happens with the tie? The legislature, the Republican legislature, without Evers' ability to veto, if there's a vacancy after 45 days, appoint somebody else. They are going to appoint an election denier. I want you to know that. That person can serve for a year until they're confirmed by the Senate. This Senate is gerrymandered too. They'll confirm this person. One thing that we have come up with is that the Fred Prynne, remember the guy on the DNR? If there's a vacancy, he can stay on till there's a successor. Tell Megan Wolf to stay on. Stay on. And hope that Janet Protasiewicz on the court now can confirm that. The problem is she doesn't get sworn in until August. And there will be a vacancy because at 3-3, her term expired. The legal theory would be her term expires, but until the election commission, not the legislature, appoints her successor, she stays on. That's the way I want to see it. But that and a buck will get me on the bus. That's not enough. That's not enough. This stuff is going on. Why is the Republican Party so insistent on plugging election deniers into our elections? Everybody listening to me votes. You vote somewhere. Do you think any of those people are crooked? You think there's something funny going on? No, they're not crooked. They're usually elderly ladies and gentlemen, kind of look forward to it. They're honest as the day is long. Nothing funny going on. Nothing funny going on. Coming to the end of the show. Great show as always. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place Monday. I'm signing off for today.
With no direction home. Like a complete unknown. Like a rolling stone.
The devil.
Devil's Advocates radio show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remmel.